This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, September 22nd, 2023. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, how unions in Ukraine are coping with the war. Unions fighting back against right-wing attacks on trans people. The Labour Start report about union events and singing. This is Radio Labour. Labour unions in Ukraine are wholeheartedly supporting their government in the war against Russian aggression. But at the same time, the government is trying to weaken labour legislation in the country. I spoke to Eric Lee about the unions in Ukraine. Eric is the founding editor of Labour Start, the labour movement's news and campaigning service. I reached him while he was in Kyiv this week, meeting with various labour and civic society organizations. I asked him why he was in Ukraine.
I've come to Ukraine to find out what's going on here, to talk to trade unionists, to workers, to learn what their needs are, and to find out how we can help them.
Who have you met?
I've had endless meetings. I forgot who most of them were, but I met with the leaders of the two trade union confederations, the FPU and the KVPU, and some of their staff. I met with the head of the teachers union, one of the largest unions. I met with people from the railway workers, aviation workers, left-wing groups, and LGBTQI activists, and people from the Solidarity Center.
Who is setting up all of these meetings for you?
A lot of them were people that I knew through the Ukraine Solidarity Campaign in Britain, which has been very successful. And the Solidarity Center, which is run by the AFL-CIO, has really good connections. They've been helpful. They give me meeting rooms also, and they arrange my travel.
So the people that you have been meeting, what are they telling you?
Yeah, they tell me lots of things. I'm going to have to write quite a bit about this. But basically, they're quite tough, the Ukrainians. You know, they're not going to be pushed around, and the unions are part of the Ukrainian nation. They're absolutely 100% on the side of their country in this war and doing everything they can. They're standing firm. That's what they're telling me.
What's been the impact of the war on Ukraine's workers and their unions that they've been telling you about?
The impact has been, of course, terrible, catastrophic. In some sectors of the economy, like aviation, are completely shut down. Other sectors have been, you know, massive cuts to what they can do. I've heard things like the teachers, their salaries have been dropping, plummeting to like 200 euros a month, which is, even in a cheap country, is way too low. They're really suffering. And of course, they have very large numbers of members of the unions have been drafted or volunteered for the army. In some cases, the 20% of union members have gone off to the front. These are staggeringly high numbers. So the impact has been a massive blow to the working people and to the unions.
So tell me about the unions. What role have they been playing in the war?
Yeah, you know, I've seen this in practice. This is the extraordinary thing. You walk into the headquarters of the KVPU, which is the second largest federation, and the first thing you see are all the rolls of film to cover windows and the bandages and all the medical equipment. And Solidarity Center was a whole room full of this stuff. They're collecting aid, and they're sending cars and trucks out to the front lines and giving them out to the villages that are being under bombardment and giving aid to the members of the army. There's a lot of kind of popular support for the army, and people are bringing them stuff and helping take care of them. So direct, practical intervention is what I'm seeing a lot of.
Now, I have to ask you this question. Before the war started, which is more than a year ago now,
yes,
there were stories about unions not being treated very well by the government in Ukraine. Has that changed, or has it just been set aside because of the combat?
It hasn't been entirely set aside. In fact, a year ago, last summer, and the war had been going on for 6 months, the government decided this was a good time to introduce labor legislation that would weaken the unions. And the unions asked me and Labor Start to launch a big international campaign, which we did, calling on the government to back down. The government's backed out a bit, but they remain committed to this kind of labor law reform that will weaken the unions. So I asked the unions, like, what do you think of your government? And one of them said to me today, it was the best answer I heard. He said, we have the same enemy.
Well, that would be an answer, wouldn't it?
It would be an answer. So I guess when you have the Russian army at your throats, the labor legislation kind of paled in significance.
So tell us, what do they need from the international labor movement?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, they need solidarity, right? They need a sense that people understand what's going on here and are on their side. So the decision about Britain's Trade Union Congress this week. I don't know if you're going to report on that in Radio Labour, but they made a historic decision expressing full support for the people of Ukraine against the Russian aggression, and that's fantastic. They love it when trade union leaders come over here for visits. I'm not the first trade unionist to come. I'm not the last. The head of the ITUC and head of the ETUC are coming next month. So that kind of support, coming and visiting, sending them stuff, and of course sending them aid. You know, the American Federation of Teachers gave them a whole bunch of generators for schools, the stuff they really, really need. You know, they can't rely on power and stuff like that. So they want practical support, and they want messages of solidarity. They want to know that they're not alone.
One of the tactics used by fascists is to pick a topic like gender identity and then lie about how schools are indoctrinating children. This is happening all over the world. As an example, hundreds of demonstrators held rallies in Canada this week to attack trans people and schools that are helping children who are struggling with their identities. Unions organized many counter-rallies. One of the labor organizations which opposed the right-wing demonstrations was the Canadian Union of Public Employees branch in the province of Ontario, known as QP Ontario. I talked to the president of the organization, Fred Hahn, about the demonstrations. Mr. Hahn, why do you think these rallies against trans people and others were held?
I think it's actually been well documented by groups like the Center for Hate on Bias and Extremism that, in fact, these rallies were funded and organized by far-right extreme groups. These are the same folks who tried a number of years ago to whip up a fervor against Islamophobia and against immigrants. This is another attempt to divide our communities, and this time they've decided to try to persuade, well, to lie, frankly, lie to parents in order to bring division into our communities. And they've decided to target trans youth, some of the most vulnerable folks in our communities. It is despicable.
What do you hope people such as students, educators, communities, workers gain by yesterday's counter-protest?
I think that it provides a real opportunity for folks to talk to one another. I've received many messages from people who claim to be parents about their children, and I keep suggesting to them that they should talk to their children about the curriculum, about what happens at school, that they should get a copy of the curriculum and understand that all of the lies they are being told by these extremists are in fact lies. There is no attempt to indoctrinate people at school. And look, I know this, I think, perhaps better than others. I was raised in rural Ontario in a Catholic family going to Catholic school. Every book I read, every song I heard on the radio, every television show, every movie, everybody in my family, everyone I knew was heterosexual. And yet I am gay. I wasn't indoctrinated, although I was surrounded. The mistake that is being made here, whether it be about sexual orientation or about gender identity, is that you can't change someone into something they are not. This is really about ensuring that our schools are safe for everyone, that they're welcoming for everyone, and that we have communities that are welcoming for everyone.
QP Ontario represents about 300,000 unionized employees around the province. What does QP Ontario want to have happen?
Well, I mean, we are an incredibly democratic union, like many other unions. Of course, the union movement is a very democratic movement. We hold an annual policy convention where members hold leaders to account, debate our budgets, how our money should be spent, and pass policy resolutions. And I'm quite proud to say that for many, many years now, resolutions supporting us standing up against those who would try to spread hate in our communities pass unanimously in the defense of trans folks and queer folks, against racism, against those, again, who would try to divide our communities. And the reason our members feel so passionately about this is because, by and large, people understand that as working people, we don't have the luxury of being divided from one another. The real challenge here is that while we've been spending time talking about falsehoods and lies, corporations are making away like bandits. Corporations like GM are forcing workers on strike while they're making multiple billions of dollars in profit and paying their CEOs millions of dollars, $29 million a year. There's a real economic problem that we should be facing, the affordability crisis, the rent and housing crisis. These are the focus that working people should work on together, band together. These right-wing extremists want to divide us from one another, distract us into arguing with one another so that we don't actually take on the folks we should be taking on, the corporations and the rich who are profiting while the rest of us are suffering.
Here with his report about union events is Labor Star correspondent Derek Blackadder.
This week, our top stories section included links to the news that Brazil and the United States have an agreement to work together to promote decent work, a general strike against regressive labor law reforms in Greece, and calls by Education International, the global union federation for education workers, for the release from prison of Iranian teachers' union activist Jafar Ebrahimi. A random sample from our news pages includes articles about the demand by African unions for the inclusion of workers in global debt discussions, the struggle of leather workers in Bangladesh. But my favorite top story of the week came from France, where Apple Store workers are preparing for a walkout just prior to the release of the latest iPhone. On our Working Women news page, you'll find stories about the fight for harassment-free workplaces in the United Kingdom's television industry, and how the lessons learned in that struggle in Lesotho are being shared with women workers globally. And, of course, we carried a large number of stories about this week's International Equal Pay Day. Stories appearing on our health and safety page and newswire this week include lead exposure concerns being taken up by the Australian Electrical Workers Union, the deaths of 18 mine workers in South Africa, and the horrendously unhealthy and completely unregulated work performed by social media moderators in Ireland. Our current photo of the week is a shot of a banner displayed in Karachi last week as unions there marked the 11th anniversary of a garment factory fire that killed over 250 workers. On that banner are photos of many of the dead. Labor Start hosts online solidarity actions at the request of unions around the world. This week we'd like to highlight an urgent appeal for online solidarity with a trade union activist in Iran. If you can spare just a few seconds, you can do your part in the struggle by sending a solidarity message. Look for details of this and other campaigns on our site. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here is the American folk singer Woody Guthrie with "All You Fascists Are Bound to Lose."
You may be surprised, people in this world are getting organized. You're bound to lose, you fascists bound to lose.
Woo! All you fascists bound to lose.
I said,
all you fascists bound to lose.
Yes,
all you fascists bound to lose. You're bound to lose, you fascists bound to lose.
Where a million fascists died, you're bound to lose. You fascists bound to lose.
And that's it. Labor news you can use. I'm Mark Belanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.